Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is the thing? What's that thing called in movies that does that?
That does that? I had to do that. By the way, welcome to the Wine Pod, sponsored by Go Currency. Nick Bob Beaurude with you here. Shouts out to Currency for making this all possible for us. No, I don't know what that thing's called. The action, the take one, take two.
It's got a name.
I had to do, I went for Nebraska basketball. They had this like this video they made about Bryce McGowan's and his season and him getting drafted. God, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called, but they had me
one like, and done the Bryce McGowan.
The one and done the Bryce McGowan. I don't, but they had me like I had to go. I'm like, my name is Nick Baugh, and this is blah blah blah. And I had to hit. I had to do it. Things a lot heavier than you think it would be. That was my big takeaway from it.
That's also they can cut correctly.
I think so.
When it, but
I think so.
That, wasn't that more for film where you had to actually like slice it versus like digital? You don't need to.
I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I figured it was for like the camera to know when to like begin and end or whatever, or like
I
to cut
it was
something
more
or other
film. Like when you have to, when you're in the editing room, like you see that thing and you can like, you buy the takes, right?
That
like
probably
you
makes more
separate
sense.
It.
That makes more sense.
Like, take one of this scene. You have to actually used to, I think you had to cut them. Like you actually
right.
cut the film
right.
physically.
You know, speaking of things that used to be, but aren't anymore.
I've missed the way
I missed the 90s, man.
Used to be.
So for full disclosure,
these
damn kids and what they don't understand.
Who's Cardi B?
Well, I don't.
Who the hell is Cardi B?
Cardi B? So we have this whole thing we'll eventually get right. We're going to have the song of the day and the other one, we alternate who chooses it. We hear it for the first time and we kind of explain what the song was going to be. So I was wrestling with different songs today. We had some technical issues. We'll get it going next week.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the podcast. Like you try stuff. If it works, if it doesn't work, you acknowledge that we had a plan and it went awry.
But you had the song.
I want to tell you about the two songs that I had. The first song that I had was, did you see over the weekend? So the Foo Fighters drummer passed away.
Yes. Taylor
Hawkins.
Hawkins. That's
and it. They had his son, Shane Hawkins, who like looks like he's like 14.
Yeah.
He came on the drums.
No, really?
And killed it. They did, is it called Hero?
Yeah.
You know, and because that started, the
is
drums.
This, is hit. This at the funeral?
I don't know. It was like a tribute. I think it was a huge concert.
Whoa.
So I think it was like a tribute thing for him. And so Shane Hawkins gets on that thing and he crushed it.
Damn.
Him and Dave Grohl, like they even at the end, they have a little thing where, you know, the drummer's doing it and they like, it was awesome. So I was going to play that song and tell that story. Okay. But I was thinking about like, are there any, like, I know this isn't true, but are like the Foo Fighters the last rock? Who's the last? Like, when did? Are there any more rock and roll bands
that are like big time?
That
bands.
Are like
okay, good
big
question.
Time rock and roll bands.
So, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking like so. Foo Fighters coming out of the 90s and 2000s are, I mean, they're big. They
yes.
were stadium tours. I mean, I'm just even thinking like. The White Stripes had a moment. Jack White's
yes.
big, but he's not Foo Fighters big. But I mean, anybody newer than that?
Because like Red Hot Chili Peppers was before Foo Fighters.
Old. Yeah, they're old. They're like 60.
That's right.
Seriously, they're like 60.
Was watching that and I'm sitting there going, and you would be more plugged into that world than I am.
Yeah. I'm thinking about bands that I don't really follow closely. Like Arcade Fire and some of those that are like, they got pretty big names, but they're not like, they're not universal. They're pretty much still like indie rock in my mind.
Well, and they all have like a, what is it? Like the Chain Smokers or something like that. Those have like, they're, it's like, I don't know. It's not quite rock and roll to me.
It's a little, it's a little something different.
I just was watching it and looking at the whole setup of it.
It's rock and roll.
And I'm like, this is rock and roll. And I just don't know if you see that anymore.
It's a dying.
Why though? There's so many things that, like,
because it was done so well for so long, I think the hard part is to be original in that realm is really hard. It's really hard to be original. And I think it was Springsteen said something like, he goes, I was fortunate to come along when I did, because there's only so many like notes and riffs that you could do.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same chords they play.
In some ways, it's amazing that you would think like everything that can get created has been created.
A lot of it has, like a lot of like every riff that you can think of has been somewhat done decently. And now you have to try to reinvent that. It's almost like it's got to go somewhere else almost to be new and fresh.
Right.
But there could still be like a great rock band that comes out, but it's not going to be like groundbreaking new. It's going to be like a cool version of something that we've kind of seen.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, as I'm seeing that, cause it looked like a huge crowd. I'm like, and maybe I just don't know.
But Nick, I don't know who's a newer band than Foo Fighters that is as big as the Foo Fighters.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like. Could anybody sell out to the degree that the Foo Fighters sell out? That came out after the Foo Fighters.
I mean, I'm thinking.
Of probably.
I'm thinking of like country artists could.
Oh yeah. I'm talking about like rock and roll, like a rock band
of rock. I am really struggling to think of.
I don't know.
Who's to that level?
You need to check that when we wrap this up. I'll bring it up. If this was a Joe Rogan podcast, be like, Jamie, pull it up. Let's
pull
see
it up Shane right here.
You know, we could pull
one
it up.
One day like, we're gonna get TV.
We'll get out there. We'll pull it up. But no, Shane, the dude just ripped it.
So I mean, I gotta feel like that was emotional for those guys.
Oh yeah, Dave Grohl. He was doing what song was it?
So Hero, Learn to Fly.
There was an emotional song where he was like crying as he was singing it pretty much. But somehow I thought I feel like Shane was so good that it like overdid any emotional and he looked like, you know,
maybe he'll join the band.
I mean, would have stolen my eighth grade girlfriend. That's for sure. He had it. He had swag.
You can play drums with the Foo Fighters. You're getting a girlfriend the next week.
I mean, he is 1000%. He's got his choice right now. So that's what I was going to play that song potentially.
I would like that. Because the story's good. It's a great story.
It's a very interesting, and I knew it would be right up your alley with The Rock. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. I'll save the other song I was going to have. Then the song that I thought was going to describe Husker football was Tom Petty, The Waiting. I was going to have another one that... That I mean, because that it's the hardest part for everybody right now. It's just we're waiting.
The fun part about this, like this new song idea we got to start the wine pods is I drive around my car and I got the XM satellite radio going, and every fourth song I'm like, that could be a good wine pod opener. Right. Like all these like weird, obscure songs you haven't heard forever, just have like, you know, the line of it is something like, that would be good for something.
Right. I had three songs I was going to play. The Foo Fighters song, The Waiting. I'll save the other one when we actually have our stuff in order, but it is the wine pod. We have poured a little bit. This is like a little appetizer version of it.
Should we do the official pour?
Okay. Let me do what you got to do. Again, the wine pod brought to you by Go Currency. Okay, so Georgia Southern this week, and we'll get into some prediction stuff at the end of it. But can I get things started with an analogy?
Yes.
For you, by the way, cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers. Cheers, Wine Pod. We're back at it again. Let me take a little sip of this. Yummy.
That's good.
By the way, I was really offended. My my nephews, you know, Bodie and Trip.
Yeah.
They're both, you know, like middle school, high school. And, you know, I'm taking them on like a, you need to watch this, all like 90s comedies. They didn't like Ace Ventura. The Jim Carrey.
I don't think they're in. They middle school kids did not find Ace Ventura funny.
They loved everything. Dumb and Dumber loved it. Austin Powers loved it. All those kind. Wow. But Ace Ventura, maybe Jim Carrey in the at the moment. I was a little offended as a Jim Carrey. I think it's all hilarious, but
oh, that's my God. I mean, I'm a grown man now.
I mean, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Hysterically at those.
I was a little offended by that. Really? Okay. You ready for an analogy?
Yes.
I used this analogy last year, but I want to revisit it because I think it's interesting now because it's flipped. So we all kind of carry our own biases and our own backgrounds into any situation, and then you judge it. It's going to get, we say like, I'm unbiased, man. Like it's impossible on some level. Your life will shape the filter that things come through and land for you.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this with Trev Alberts, but like, here's the analogies I'll continue to use. Like, I'd imagine, and you'll left it, I'd imagine a cinematographer is going to feel better about a movie if the cinematography is good, even if like the acting and screenplay is not good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Same thing. I'd imagine a bartender is going to feel better about a restaurant if the cocktail's great, but even if like the service and the ambiance isn't great.
Yeah.
You get the point.
Yeah, yeah.
I think on some level, Trev Alberts felt better about last year. Because think of Trev Alberts' life experiences and his football filter. It is a defensive-minded filter.
Yeah.
I feel like on some level last year, he probably felt better about the whole operation because the defense was pretty good. It was the defense that I can't really think of any game where you walked away from that game going, you know who fucking blew that game? JoJo Doman, Stilly,
yeah.
Cam Taylor Britt. Like, there weren't too many games where you felt like it was the defense's fault, if you will. Like, yes. The defense was pretty good. So I would think because of Trev Alberts' experience and the filter that he's in, he's going to feel better about the program if the black shirts are performing at a pretty good level, even if the rest of the team or season isn't going well. Which brings me to this year, where I bet this season so far has been a little bit of a struggle for him. I wonder if this season's landing harder for him a little bit so far, just because the defense has struggled. Like, beyond just the fact that it's year five and you know, this is kind of like a win or it's over kind of a season, I think the fact that the defense and the tackling haven't been very good has to bother Trev. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I think I kind of remember our conversation, and the thing that comes back to my mind is defense is about being more physical, and it's tough, and it's like, it's all those things that I think me personally as a former defender really, you know,
identify with,
but I also think our fan base identifies with that as well. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's something that if we can hang our hat on that, like, Nebraska fans will hang in there.
Right.
I think Nebraska fans have seen a couple instances where we've just been ran out of the building, giving up, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70 points in games. That's their breaking point. You know, we won a lot of games with Pelini, but we lost games by a lot of, with giving up a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't sit well with them. And, you know, Soltz was almost in the same boat. Like, we had pretty good teams.
Yes.
And we even had pretty good defenses, but we had some moments where we gave up a lot of points to certain teams, and that was enough to turn our fans off, where it's never been just like, oh, we're not scoring enough points.
Right.
I never really felt like, because we're so used to run the ball, play great defense, 40 years of that, it's hardwired into all of us.
Right.
So not just people that are former
Not just Trev, not probably.
Not
just Trev,
not yeah. just me.
I should have expanded it to everybody.
But I'm going all the way to the fans. I think the fans feel that way.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I think if the fans would have to say, what are the things they identify with first for what they think Husker football should be? I'm not so sure the first thing they don't think about is the black shirts.
It's black shirts one and maybe running
the ball shirt, too. In no particular order, it's probably black shirts, running the ball, and like clean.
Yeah, good football. That
like clean,
good football.
Execute, no mistake kind of football. And I think that's one of the things that has made this year and really a lot of the last 10 years challenging is like all of those things that you identify with haven't been happening. But I think might have been Josh Peterson said this on his Sports Conduct this week, and it was a good point. Like, just in general, just zooming out past Nebraska and Trev Alberts, I think every football fan would feel better about their team if they had a good defense and a bad offense rather than a good offense and a bad defense. For some reason,
because it's a pride thing.
Yes.
To me, it all comes down to pride. You feel pride if you're tough, you play defense, and it keeps you in every game. Offense it's flashier, it's more exciting at times, but if you don't score a lot of points, it doesn't hurt your pride. If you get your butt ran over, your pride gets like put in the dumpster.
Because that's what you think football is. Football is there's a primal physical
thing.
Like, you're not getting past me,
like
kind of a thing.
What was the problem with Northwestern? In the fourth quarter, they kind of broke through and ran. They were able to run on us all quarter. Like, that was demoralizing.
Right.
From a pride standpoint for Nebraska, right? For the fans, like, that's the stuff that bothers them. It's not like, hey, it was a defensive struggle and their field goal kicker was better than ours. And we'd be like, nah, okay.
Yeah, you just kind of go,
good for you. You beat us. But like, if you were able to run it on us and we weren't able to run it on you, that hurts our pride.
Well, just think about this. The 2009 Big 12 championship game, conference championship game, where Nebraska loses at a last second field goal, the 1 second game, where that final score was what, 12 to 10, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Or 10-9. I can't remember what it was. Whatever it was a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
If that game is all the same, it's just the inverse of it, where it was offense, where Nebraska lost the game 62-59, and it's the same thing. Like, a second get puts back on the clock. Yeah. I don't think there's as much pride in that. Like, even though Nebraska lost that game, now there's the element of feeling like they got screwed and all that stuff, but like, Husker fans walked
proud
away
of
that
team.
Game,
yeah.
Proud of that team, even though that offense was not good.
If the defense was the equivalent to that offense,
yes, I mean, that's a better way to
felt
put it.
Good about
right.
It.
You walk away from that 2009 season, even if you had the same record, same things all happens, but instead of just shutting people down, you have the number one offense. I don't think people have as much pride.
That's a
in
great
it.
Point, and I don't know what it is other than just the primal thing. About
I think that's
it's
right.
It's like, you can feel good about a team that has a strong, like, tough freaking defense.
Yes. What is your, like, your level of concern for the defense through two games? Like, I don't, like,
so
where
I,
are you
I
at?
I did the it? Thing that you did. I went and I rewatched the,
okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, I watched North in the Dakota game and I didn't get to rewatch the game. So I rewatched and I felt a little bit better after rewatching. I really did.
That's how I felt.
So my, you know, where's the alarm at? Wherever, if it was a
let's say seven or eight. Let's say 10 is like, we are DEFCON. It is.
I was probably a 7-8, and I'm probably back down to a 6.
Elaborate.
Just in terms of, like, I saw where some of the mistakes were. It wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was.
Is it a lack of, I guess the thing, I tried to get into this last week, and maybe it was too soon to get into this, and it might even be too soon now, two games into it. Is it a lack of ability, or is it just they're not making the play? Does that make sense? Like,
they just weren't making a few of the play. Like, so there was a few of those couple big third downs where like the game would have been over.
Right.
Like, we scored quick a couple times and we got a couple quick stops, like first, second down quick. And it's like third and long and we miss just getting a sack, getting them off the field. And they probably start quitting sooner. But then this quarterback scrambles and makes a couple good throws. Yep. And they picked a couple of those, like, third, and they got it over. Remember you said, like, bad spots to get first downs, or like, they just held the ball for the whole first half.
Right.
And so, like, if we do our jobs a little bit better, not drastically better, a little bit better, we get off the field a few more times. They don't own the clock. Offense has more chances to score. I mean, like, a lot of things were there for us if we just a little bit. So
yeah,
it didn't feel quite like the, you know, I feel like the fourth quarter against Northwestern is like, I was more upset with that.
Yeah.
Than I was North Dakota. Actually,
there felt like, other than the 162 yard run inside the 10, yeah, there weren't as many busts, like dudes just running untouched, as there were in the Northwestern game.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now, because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious, all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is, you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better.
But if you're building the case for why the defense can get better, I think one of the things we talk about is communication. Just got, like, getting more on the same page. You would assume that's going to improve as the season goes along. I also think about Stephon Wynn and Devin Drew. As we've joked, Devin Drew walked from Lubbock, Texas.
Is he here?
I think so. But he can't be in great shape.
I don't think he's... I just, like, anybody that doesn't show up for camp on time is so far behind in just, like, getting the playbook, your repetitions,
and your game shape. Like, I don't know what's for you. Like, it's weird. You probably would understand this. Like, I know for me, even from a basketball standpoint, you can feel like, man, I've busted my ass getting into shape. And then there's still nothing like when you get into practice.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, man, I thought I was in shape. I'm not in shape. So Devin Drew probably thought, man, he was down in Lubbock working hard, but you're still not even close to game shape.
No, you don't know how to simulate, like, oh, that was a play I had to chase down a quarterback. Right. And then, like, we had 6 more plays after that.
Right.
Like, they were double teamed. Like, you can't simulate it. Right. Well,
and then the other, okay, so I was thinking about with him. You would think he's the more he plays, the better shape he gets in. Yeah. There is a non-negotiable level of, like, shape that you have to be in to just be a good football player. I think Stephon Wynn, now, I don't know how much, he wasn't playing a lot at Bama, right?
No, he wasn't. I don't know his ceiling. He seemed like he was, I saw a few plays, he was moving pretty good. I think, right. I think he's a guy that, like, can help us.
Well, I guess what I was getting at is something that I wish, not that this would have made a big difference, but, like, sometimes I think about, yeah, okay, so I just pulled up his game. Like, here's his at Bama first year. He had 3 total tackle. Like, these are his tackle totals.
Yeah.
3, 7, 1, 5, and now he's at Nebraska. So he has 11, 19, 22 tackles heading into, so he has not played a lot of football.
No, he didn't play in big moments. He played probably in scrub time.
Something I wish that someone would have talked to me about, or I would have, like, acknowledged, not to go back in my day stuff with Creighton, but, like, when you don't play for a handful of years, it's hard to just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, for me, like, I dislocated my shoulder my senior year of basketball. I missed the first 10 games of the season. So half that basketball season I missed. Freshman year at Kansas, in and out of the lineup, didn't play very much. Sophomore year at Kansas, didn't play very much, if at all.
Yeah.
Then I redshirt. So, I mean, I basically had, like, 3.5 full years of not playing. Now, I was practicing, I was scrimmaging, I was playing pickup games, I played in some summer league stuff, but there's nothing like a game.
Yeah.
And I think I was way too hard on myself at the start of my junior year when I actually was playing of like, what the fuck? Where, like, come on, Nick. Like,
yeah.
But I didn't realize like it was going to take me a little bit. And I wish someone would have told me like, hey, man, it's been a while since you played. Like, give yourself a break. Not let yourself off the hook, but like almost I got unnecessarily in my head.
Yeah.
Where I was like, what is the deal? And I'm just was thinking about that with Stephon Wynn on like, you don't get to Bama for no reason. Like, and so I'm hoping he's one of those guys, not to project my life onto Stephon Wynn's life, but like, I know for me, I was so much better and more comfortable as like the season got along, just because you got more comfortable playing in a real game.
Well, you can take the Stephon Wynn example and go to how many guys on our team
That's true. That you could extrapolate Trey Palmer.
Trey Palmer, I mean, I think he played some for LSU, but he wasn't a guy for LSU. He was like one of their backups.
Right.
And you go through the like our team right now, like Miles Farmer played a little bit, got hurt last year. You got Buford didn't play a lick. You got Tommy Hill's different school. You got all like Ernest Hausman had to play minutes. Like he was in high school last year.
Right.
You know, like,
well, Tommy Hill had 9 tackles last year.
Yeah. So there you go.
He's already got 7 this year. Like, so even you, I guess you could extrapolate this to more guys than just Stephon Wynn. There's a lot of guys that like, it's going to take them. Like we've used this whole growing pains thing from like a big perspective of like the team and the playbook. Like there's also an individual element to it.
Yeah, it's everybody that's not been like, you know, like Ty Robinson played every game last year. Nick Henrich played Reimer. Those guys played every single game last year, and like they're like we know what they are. Like these other guys, we don't know what they are with a full year, right? Like a full year of like you've played. This is who you are.
Well, even our guy Teddy Peño ass down. Teddy Peño ass down. He has only penned so many asses down in his life. Think about it. Like Teddy Peño ass down played in 5 games last year and really didn't become like the dude until like
he had 2 or 3 games where he started. I think he started maybe 2 games.
Like Northwestern and Michigan, I think, were the only
and
two.
He got hurt.
And then he gets hurt. And so it's like Teddy Peño ass down has only played in 5 games. He's coming off a knee injury.
He was rusty as hell. He was getting beat by that little Northwestern defensive end. Like a guy that's 6'4", 240 pounds is, you know, running around him or moving him. And like, that should never happen with him. But he just clearly, like he even said, so like, I just got to get, you know, I got to get myself, you know,
back into the back flow in the of flow things
and get comfortable and trust myself.
Well,
and,
even back in the flow, like, okay, was he ever even in a flow?
No,
you know? So I guess that's I'm trying to be as this is a half full glass of wine here instead of a half empty one. Like, I think there's a lot of guys. There's more. If we're just doing like, all right, guys that have played a lot and are comfortable and have produced in games, get over here. Everybody else over here. There's probably going to be more people in the other.
I mean, look at our O-line, D-line, right? So you got Cochran's played one season. Ben Hart played one season. But then it's like Hickson and Bando and
Ben Hart.
And who's the other one? That Latovsky.
Yeah, something. Is that right?
Henry Latovsky.
It starts with an L.
Latovsky. He's from Iowa, but he hasn't played. He hasn't played any. Those guys played, you know, backup roles. You know, on the defensive line, Hutmacher and Feist played none, like no meaningful snaps. And there are, you know, first in for the rotation. So like, we got guys that need to learn how to play football, and this is the I would just call it growing pains. There's going to be growing pains, and this next game is going to be probably a little bit of growing pains, but you can't have growing pains against Oklahoma.
No.
That's the bad part. Is like essentially you got one more NFL preseason game, but I mean, this is like, dude, this is the hard part. It's like we need growing pains games, and we're running out of them.
What about Frost? This week talked about going to do potentially some more, a little bit more one versus ones. What do you think of that?
Good.
Yeah. I mean, is that, I mean, I would think they, like,
they've been safe. They've been really safe in their fall camp. And, you know, that's very good. But when you're not physical enough on the O-line and you're not physical enough on the D-line and you're not tackling well, more one-on-one is good. Because the game speed is something that is causing you problems, right? Yeah.
Like, because that's what it seems like.
Yeah, like I see, like, you know, these new dudes get out there and they're whiffing tackles because they're all jacked up. They're not sure of themselves. You want it to feel like, I've done this so many times. You're not like, it's not a flustering moment to like, I'm going to go tackle somebody or I'm going to pound this small North Dakota like defensive line. I'm just going to pound them. Like there shouldn't be, right now we're not there yet.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's got to be good. I mean, there is an element of, you know, God bless the scout team, but they can't give you as good of a look as possible for guys that haven't done it.
The scout team. Yeah. I mean, in the end, it's like people are people. And as much as you want to make the scout team feel real, if you got some, you know, young assistant coach holding up the card and he says, Billy, you're here. Clark, you're there. And you're going to run like a, you know, it's not like the guy that's really good who knows his route.
Yes.
And they're just going to shake. Like,
right.
They're just following the card and it's just not a real look.
It's not even close to the same.
Can't do it even close.
So right.
Ones on ones are good.
The other thing I wrote down here for you is I'm just peppering with stuff. I wrote down because you, it was something you talked about when the cameras turned off and the mics turned off that I wanted to get into. I was thinking about the Elton John, yes, it is. Unfortunately, the Elton John Circle of Life for Huskers. Isn't it funny? Here's the cycle.
And a circle.
The circle. Here's the Circle of Life of Huskers.
I went to an Elton John concert actually this year.
You did?
My wife loves Elton John.
You didn't know? I knew that. Yeah. I didn't know she loves Elton John.
She loves Elton John. We went to the Elton John concert.
It had to have been really good.
It was good. It was good.
Where was it at?
A Pinnacle.
Really? Okay.
But it was there was a couple of scenes. I'll tell you off camera some things are hilarious.
Well, do you have a favorite Elton John song?
Me?
Yeah.
Mona Lisa's in Manhattan and Mad Hatters.
I don't know if I know that song.
You would. You'd know it. It was in Almost Famous.
Oh, I thought that was in Almost Famous. Wasn't that the Tiny Dancer?
That was also in Almost Famous.
There's two Elton Johns in Almost Famous.
Yes, there is.
Okay. All right. Elton John would be pretty good.
He's good. Yeah.
Okay. Because that was something else, by the way. Just a little preview of what the next song could be. I was going to get into top favorite concerts of all time. Save it.
Okay.
But here is this. Did he do Circle of Life?
No, he did not.
What a weird song. The other thing, side note, for like the way things used to be. I feel like your boy's forehead is shiny. The Shinobolo. I'm Homer when you work at the bowler.
Stick your head in there, Munson.
I got the Shinobolo going.
I'm stick Munson's
head. The wine has officially kind of hit us. Did songs used to get made specifically for movies? There seemed to be more in like the 80s and the 90s and the 70s. There were songs that seemingly were made solely for the movie.
Yes. And I don't know.
Why don't they do that anymore? I'm out on culture nowadays. I'm just out on it. All culture, Nick Bob, out on it.
Wasn't it better? No. Okay. Okay. Good question. Because, like,
think about all of the song. Like, almost every iconic movie had like an iconic song with it.
Yeah. The question is, were all those songs written specifically for the movie, or they had a song?
Like, was Breakfast Club, Don't You Forget About Me, was that song made for Breakfast Club, or did the Breakfast Club make it and just go, this song's perfect, let's use it?
I think they took it.
Don't you?
You know what's nuts? Remember I told you I've been saving songs? One of the songs I saved for the pod.
Was that?
That song today. That happened today.
That you heard that song today?
Today, and I saved it for my it for the wine pod. But that tells me
we're on the same page.
We're on the same
page. Yes. Okay.
Nick, that's nuts.
That is crazy. But do you see what I'm saying though? That like, but even like, did Elton John did like Disney approach Elton John with like, can you make a song about?
Yeah, I'm sure they did Simba. That, and they say, write a song. I mean, they had, because they had Phil Collins do Tarzan. Yep. They had Elton John do that. They had Peebo Bryson do the Aladdin song, right? What's the Aladdin song?
I can show the whole new world.
The world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was like a string where they were just like.
And then obviously all the Beauty and the Beast. I mean.
Beauty and the Beast. That was Peebo Bryson as well.
Peebo Bryson be doing his thing, boy.
Peebo Bryson, early 90s.
I even read it in the Will Smith book of like even Men in Black.
There you go.
Like he makes Men in Black.
And it was a huge
hit. Men in Black. The song's number one. The movie's number one. Like
he also did Wild Wild West.
Yes, he did Wild Wild West as well. So I'm just. But okay, so the circle of life, the Elton John circle of life for Huskers. I was thinking, here's the life cycle of Huskers, okay? They commit. They're great. This guy's great. This guy's going to be great. I love him. He's great. They arrive and play. I don't know. I don't know about that guy. He's got a ways to go. I liked him when he first got here. He's got a ways to go. Then they leave. Man, I really miss that guy. We could really use that guy. You know, we need that guy.
Oh,
it's a weird cycle. Like I bring this up because as we were talking, it's amazing to me to think about how Nebraska finds themselves dying to have Stilly, Daniels, JoJo, Cam Taylor-Britt, Deontay Williams, Dismuke, Austin Allen. Like they would die to have those guys right now. And yet
when
Nebraska had them, it was a lot of like talent, not quite there. They got it. It was this guy's not good. I don't know about that guy. And the ultimate judge, they won 3 games.
I think Juergens and Cam Taylor-Britt are probably the ultimate examples of it. Cause Cam Taylor-Britt, going into the season, was like the best player on the team, fan favorite.
Yes, that is going to be the big thing.
Yeah. And we were all just a little bit like, man, like he's not doing what we thought he was going to do.
I was probably unnecessarily hard on him.
Probably all were, but you know, he dropped the punt. Like he kind of got in his head. But man, we'd love to have him now, right? Now, Juergens is crazy because like. Everybody wanted to bench him,
including me.
Yeah. Bench that guy. He can't play. He's right? Killing it for the Eagles.
You know, all I know, who is the Eagles center, whoever that the, he's Travis like a really good
Kelsey. Player. No, not Travis Kelsey, but something Kelsey.
Yes. Did you see that little video on him where he was like, he's like of all the Eagles asked me to evaluate centers. He goes, this is my favorite. Basically, he's like, my favorite player in the draft. He's awesome. Like blah, blah, blah. And like, you even see him in preseason games. He's killing it. And yeah, I guess it's just weird to bring that up because you brought that up after when we were kind of like walking out of the studio on how much right now Nebraska would die for Cam, have those
for
guys.
For Cam Juergens, like you hear they wrote in the papers, like, oh, without Juergens, what are we like? But people didn't think Juergens was capable playing college football.
Right. I thought at one point when he kept snapping it over Martinez's head, you got to sit that guy down. And now I'm sitting here going like Nebraska would die. I would die to have Cam Juergens.
Yeah. You take his bad snaps
and you'd live with him. Yes. You would live with it.
Yeah. But like,
and even a guy like Snacks, other than like Snacks, you would die for Snacks right now. Stilly, you would die for Stilly. JoJo Doman. Like, I think we appreciated JoJo in the moment, but like you make a 53 man roster, you're a real football player. And so I just think it's interesting. Like, I don't know what really my point is. It's just interesting to think about the Elton John circle of life for Huskers. I'm like, right. They arrive. They're amazing. They play. We're kind of on them. Like, I'm trying to really think the last player that played that everyone held in extremely high regard, even while they were here, was probably Amir.
Amir and Randy Gregory.
I don't think people were like, you know what, man, I'm gonna name my dog Stanley, my son Stanley, my fish Morgan, gotta spread it out a little bit, and then I'm gonna have another daughter, name her Stanley. Like there wasn't any of that going on.
No, you're probably right.
But I think you'd have to go back to Amir is the last time there was a guy that was playing that everybody was just like, knew, like, love that
Collins
guy.
And Valentine on defensive line were kind of known, like, these guys are really good.
Right.
They weren't loved like Gregory and Amir were. Westerkamp a little
Westy. I think everyone knew Westy was a baller.
Westy was just like the classic, like, dude's got skills. Like, yes. Straight.
When he had the behind the back catch, everybody was like, just like,
he's a man of skills. He's a man of skills, is what I'd call him.
He's got a very particular set of skills, running comeback routes.
I will find the ball.
Identifying zone coverages and sitting down in an open area.
I will find you, and I will find the ball, and I will catch the ball. That's the message he leaves. He leaves Tommy every day. Tommy, I'm from Tommy.
My name is Jordan. I have a very particular set of skills.
I catch balls behind my back on Hail Marys, 3rd and 17. Any situation in the clutch, I will take it. I will find you.
What I promise you is that ball will not, from a defensive back, be taken, okay?
It will not be taken.
But maybe Westy. I would say Westy. Westy's the last guy that people were going to name their
Westy's
dog and their goldfish afterwards.
Westy's up there. Who else played in those last couple Riley teams who were worth a dang?
I mean, J.D. Spielman. I don't know necessarily people were all in on J.D. Stanley. You know, you had your Luke Giffords and those guys that were like clearly good players, but I just don't know. Luke. We were fans of Luke because of Southeast. Yeah, we love from Luke. Southeast. I'm like,
yeah, Luke. We love Luke. I think Luke.
Hello, Canton.
Yeah, he's a knight.
Yeah, this is Nick Baugh. I'd like to speak to Canton, Ohio, please. Luke Gifford. You need to start making his face on one
Sir,
of those.
Sir, how'd you get through in this line?
No. Hello, operator. I'd like to call.
Hall of Fame.
Give me the NFL Hall of Fame pronto. But no, I just was, when you said that stuck with me because it's just interesting to think that, like, people, we weren't speaking of Ben Stille and Damian Daniels and then Austin Allen and those guys. Like, I tell you, man. Oh, man.
No.
And now all those guys, everybody would die to have them. What's frustrating is some of those guys could have came back. That's where I was. I remember at the time
Allen,
I was.
Now, Allen's the guy that probably, JoJo made a team, don't come back. Cam, second round, don't come back. You got a second round pick. Yeah. You go take your money. You got to do it. Austin Allen. Now, I don't know if he's made the team or not.
I don't think.
No, was he practice squad? Did
he
I
might have
that?
Practice squatted it.
All right,
up.
Practice squad is a maybe, but he's also a guy that, you know, could he have improved his stock, gotten, you know.
By the end of the year, I feel like he got a lot better.
He did, and this year especially, like, with Vokolek being out again, it's like that guy would just be. I mean, I think Casey Thompson would throw him the rock a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, it's what's our.
Borkature.
Borkature is getting targets, and he seems. I mean,
Borkature scored touchdowns, Doug.
He did, but he seems a little.
He dropped the first pass of the game. He was a little nervous.
I was about to be like.
He's just like.
The Borkature obituary.
But then he totally redeemed himself.
He lived a good life.
he's Borkature.
Succeeded by his. Mother and father and sister. He said, I live my life like a candle in the wind.
I live my life like it was stirred down all the time. Excellent urgency. I have no regrets.
At least he's not Wyatt Lever and had the butter sandwich.
That was right? Unfortunate. Yeah. I still don't know. He had to have thought he was trying to down the ball. He just must have had like a brain fart and thought he was downing the ball, right?
I'm trying to understand it.
I don't know. By the way, speaking of guys like Wyatt Lever, like, did you see Frost in the presser too? Like, he gets a question about Anthony Grant, and instead of like praising Anthony Grant, who balled the out in that game, he immediately goes into praising Ramir Johnson and Gabe Irvin. I do think there's this interesting thing that is like probably developing where there's like. The old guys that really have endured when it was a crap sandwich around here.
Yeah.
And I think Frost has a soft spot. And why wouldn't you? I think he lived in this world where if you do things right, the game will reward you.
Yeah.
I think that was something that always bothered him about Martinez was just like he felt like Adrian was doing everything right. And yet the football gods were not rewarding him.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's that way I think there's a bunch of guys like Ramir, Gabe Irvin, probably Wyatt Lever. Like a lot of these guys were like, they've done things right. It just hasn't really worked out for them on the field a ton.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because you're kind of finding your guy in Anthony Grant.
Yes. So the writing's on the wall probably for two dudes that you told, like, dude, hang in there.
But you know what? Like, at the same time, like, they're going to, like, injuries happen. I mean, I think it's, you want to keep them engaged. But at the same time, like,
what did they do to earn that? Ramir and Gabe Irvin have never done anything like Anthony Grant has done, like, in that game alone. It's also kind of like,
we joke about Gabe Irvin, like, his luck is borderline Connor Culper.
I have a soft spot for Gabe Irvin.
So I would love to see Gabe Irvin get some carries, but, like, in the end, like, I'm starting to become a little bit having that soft spot for, like, wanting to give everybody, like, win.
Yes.
And if Anthony Grant getting every carry means we win, screw every other running back. I don't care. That took me, like, I've always been a person that's been a little bit more like that, where I'm like, I want everybody to have, you know, hey, this guy's good, and, you know, screw it. Like, at this point, we need to be a little bit colder about the process. Like, Adrian Martinez, we're too soft.
We fell in love with him too much. You can't. I mean, I think it's
Joe Burrow. You know, like, hey, we got a guy. You know, like, we need to be like, dude, anybody that can play, we're bringing in.
Right.
I don't give a crap. Like, you better beat that person out that we bring in.
I agree.
And no more of this soft, like, coddling stuff. Like, if you aren't good enough to clearly play, we don't coddle you.
Well, and this is what I'm about to say, which makes it seem like I'm about to say that, like, the two coaches that I played for in college are, like, heartless a-holes. They're not. They're
freaking great dudes.
They're great dudes, and they're Hall of Fame. I mean, Bill Self is in the Hall of Fame. I was there in Springfield, Massachusetts, while the dude got inducted. I think Dana's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Dana's going in.
But the one, I would say one of the common threads between those two guys is they are both totally willing to be a-holes.
They're not trying to, in the right way. Yeah, they're not trying to protect your feelings about playing or not playing. They are like, if you don't absolutely make it impossible not to play you, I'm not playing you. Right. Like, that's the difference. And I think Martinez has always been an example of, like, I even was a little bit like,
I think, okay, I fell in love with him too much. Like, that.
We all were just too protective of, like, well, maybe he'll be offended and leave. And you can't think that way.
No.
You know what? Gabe Irvin, Ramir, Yant, I don't know who these other backs are. I mean, all these guys, if you think you're so much better than the guy that's playing ahead of you and you want to go somewhere else, go. You're not good enough to beat out the guy playing. So, like, I have no sympathy anymore for the guys, like, trying to pander to the backups. Right. That you're still, like, a starter. Like, no,
because,
like,
I wonder, I don't know this to be true, but I wonder if that's what got Gabe Irvin in the game. That's a bizarre place to put him in the game for the first time.
I think that he's a guy they want to get in the field, but he's coming off a knee. I actually think it's good for him not to be playing right now. I think he needs to wait and work his way into the season as the year goes.
Right.
Anthony Grant's ready right now. He's ready to play. Let the guy play. If Ramir gets some sweeps and some things and some third downs, fine. But, like, right now, Anthony Grant is the only running back I've seen since Ozigbo. Like, just give him the ball.
Well, that's what I just, every time he's not in the game, and I'm not necessarily anti AJ Allen. Like, seems fine. But, like, every time he's not in the game, I'm just not happy about it.
I mean, he needs a break. And
I mean, again, I'm not,
those
I know
guys
this.
Gotta spell him, but, like, you know, like, Yant had a moment, but Yant also tripped over his own feet in the goal line.
Well, and why did he? It's weird that he comes in. He was the first running back in. Now, it might have been because they were pinned against their own goal line, but it's weird to me. Again, this goes back to my rant that I went on in the first recap pod of, like, I have a hard time with their rotations. Like, so he was the first running back in the game after Grant, and then he didn't even play against North Dakota
because they said his eyes got too big. Like, the paper basically, the coach basically said, like, he's in Ireland. It looked big. Looked like his eyes got big and, like, things got, you know, like, some guys when the lights turn on and they have to think,
right,
and they got, like, there's a lot going on. It's a lot for them, you know, right. Like, there's a lot going on. And, like, if a defense is running tricky blitzes and you've got first, you know, this isn't high school. There's a lot to think about and a lot to, like, to take on. And so, like, I don't know, like, if it's too big for him, he might need to sit down and, yeah. and wait. Some guys need a couple years. Jan's a young dude.
Well,
let him take his time until he's ready.
Something I was thinking about too was you remind me who was the linebackers coach when you committed to Nebraska?
It was Craig Bull, then Jimmy Williams.
And then Kaz comes in.
Kaz came in, yep.
Now you were, I mean, this probably doesn't apply to you, but like once upon a time, people were like Steve Octavian, Bo Rude, what's going to happen? Was Octavian a Kaz recruit?
Yes.
That's a weird thing. Did you ever think about that? Like, I remember.
Yeah.
I can remember being at Kansas and being like going into my sophomore year being like, okay, here's Russell Robinson, like a handpicked guy from Bill Self. And I love Russ to death. Like, and Russ ended up being a starting point guard of team to 1-08. And I think Russell was amazing. But like, I remember thinking like, okay, this was Bill Self's guy. I was not Bill Self's guy. So I guess there's maybe more of those kinds of things. I know you don't want to like, these are the things you don't want to say out loud, but like, I mean, you wonder if there's a little bit of, I just thought it was interesting that Frost, when asked about Anthony Grant, goes on this huge thing about Ramir and Gabe Irvin, two guys that didn't even gain a yard
I think he's trying to keep them engaged and encouraged. Keep them engaged and encouraged. The thing he did right, which he's failed to do before, is he goes, I'm not going to anoint. He goes, I know Nebraskans are. I'm not going to anoint Grant. So that was a good thing to do because he kind of had a bad tendency his first couple of years. Is like if some guy
did anything
like that guy's going to be great.
Well, he's so good. Martinez was going to be Patrick Mahomes, does things like Patrick Mahomes. And then Cam Jurgens was going to be Remington.
Yeah. And then like, he didn't mean it literally, but if you say it in Nebraska, you might as well mean it literally because they will hold you to it and they'll throw it in your face when Jurgens snaps it over his head. It's right. Like, you know, the jerk in the crowd's going to say, looks like Remington to me.
Remington my ass. Am I right, Bill?
Bill. By the way, I had some jerk-offs sitting behind me that were... I may have said this in the last spot. I mean, they were obnoxious.
Were you ready to get on like a fan video, like fighting...
My wife was. I was.
I don't know how anybody ever loses a fight in a football stadium or a stadium in any stadium. If you're if you got the high ground,
that's. Let me just tell you something, Nick. I read Sun Tzu: The Art of War, and take the high ground is a big deal.
If you
take the high ground,
if you lose the fight with being up a row, like what went wrong?
I think
with you?
If you like, you could lose the fight. If you're like a. Like, if you're 5'2 and skinny and don't know how to fight, and the guy below you is like 6'8 and a beast, you will lose with the high ground.
He's the guy from Happy Gilmore, like, I'll see you in the parking lot.
I have the high ground, and I'll see you in the parking lot.
But no, it's. I did like what Frost said about not, you know, like, we don't need his clear space to retire his jersey.
That was good.
I just think it's interesting that, like, I know what that's like, that I'm sure, like, you know, Ramir and Gabe are like, these are, you know, the Applewhite. This they're Grant's good. Applewhite's guy. AJ Allen's Applewhite's guy.
But here's the thing. It's Grant and Ramir are, they're playing special teams. Like, they're doing good team things.
And at the end of the day, Bo, neither of those guys has done anything that to lay claim that they're, you know, like, Screech can't claim Lisa Turtle when, like, some dude... from another high school wants to get at Lisa Turtle when, like, Screech, you never had Lisa Turtle.
Screech, she's just turned your ass down a lot. You whack ass, curly hair, dark.
Zach had Kelly, and old boy that was like ran the max. That dude was like technically, it was like he was like 28 and he was getting with Kelly.
No, he wasn't. Was he?
Yeah, right. Wasn't he?
Oh, was he the way he wasn't?
He was like that. I thought he was like the
magician.
No, the magician never dated Kelly. No. There was a guy that like got with Kelly that seemed like
he was the waiter at the max.
Yeah, right? But he seemed like he was older. But I'm saying like Zach's got an axe to grind because Zach at one point had Kelly Kapowski. Like, yes. Kapowski being the running back job, like these guys never really had it like that.
No. Where's this analogy? Where are we at with this? Wait, how does this relate to the running back?
It has to do with the fact that, like, I don't, as much as those guys could be upset, those guys never.
Anthony Grant has two 100 yard games. Ramir had one good game against Michigan.
Did Ramir have a 100 yard game ever last year?
Maybe 100
yard rushing,
maybe receiving against Michigan.
I mean,
like, let's figure this out. I'm not sure if he ever had a 100-yard rushing game last year.
I don't think he did.
I bet he didn't.
But Anthony Grant has had two in a row, which we haven't had in a long time.
Okay, rushing. No. His high was 83 against Minnesota.
Yep. And then Yant had
against Northwestern.
He had a good game, but like I said,
and Gabe Irvin was getting no blocking.
Yeah, I've seen Ramir just sort of, he got better as the year went on, but like he had a couple of games where I just felt like if you got your hand on him, he went down.
Yeah.
You know, like Anthony Grant is the first guy that is breaking runs for touchdowns.
Yes.
So
totally.
Yeah, I would say that, like I said, this all started where I don't know how it started.
Lisa Turtle? Did I distract you with Lisa Turtle?
Not Lisa Turtle. I think we were talking just about like almost like worrying too much about the guys
feelings.
Not playing.
Yeah.
Feelings. Like if you aren't absolutely dominating, your job is wide open.
Totally agree.
That is, I guess, the takeaway.
Totally agree.
Forget
as much as we went. A very particular set of skills with Jordan Westerkamp and everything.
Skills.
Okay, let's refill. Your boy needs a refill.
For the refill,
you need to refill your glass too. And it's a perfect opportunity to tell you more about GoCurrency. Does your business need easy, competitive financing for trucks or equipment? Currency is here to help. I actually saw a GoCurrency sign as I was driving to Ashland to go to Big Sandy Lake a couple of days ago.
Is Currency Nebraska company?
Yeah, it's a Sandhills publishing company, Doc.
Oh, it is.
How about that? Currency specializes in finding the best available rates and terms for construction equipment, farm machinery, trucks, and trailers. In fact, customers can get loans for up to $500,000 with little or no money down in terms up to 72 months. That is bananas to me. Currency can also help you if you're getting serious about buying a new or used motorhome, fifth wheel, or utility vehicle. Just fill out an application. The Currency Finance team will get to work finding a lender with the most competitive options. It's quick, secure, and free to use. Currency equipment financing made simple. Visit GoCurrency.com for details. Here we go. Offers may vary and arranged by Express Tech Financing, LLC, DBA, Currency Pursuant, CFL License 60DBA-0-5-4873. How about that for a little legal disclaimer? Okay. Do we want, I mean, we went way too long there. Do you want to get into some college football playoff stuff or we want to get to Georgia Southern?
Let's do a quick college football playoff.
It's a huge topic
this week.
So there was an announcement about a week ago, probably, that the college football playoff is going to be expanding to 12 teams starting in 2026.
Yes.
So first of all, a lot of things to unpack with this. Glad it's expanding.
Yep.
That's me. You maybe disagree with this as someone that has been in college football. I have forever felt like it was hard to complain about it when Nebraska's winning natties, but now that like Nebraska's not winning natties and you think about it, college football forever has had the worst postseason structure of any sport by a mile.
Yeah, the bowl games were just like anything, things that become traditions can become like just fun and part of your life. You know, I mean, I remember like we always had the pull tab, bowl game things for growing up that they were really fun. But yeah, it's like you didn't have a clear,
but that's what I'm saying. Even of how a champion was crowned.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre to me. Like I remember watching the Orange Bowl, Nebraska, Tennessee, when Osborne was retiring and, you know, Scott Frost has that line, like anybody doesn't think that this great man doesn't deserve the national title. Like, and I remember at the time being like, yeah, that's right. But it's just idiotic to think that like you had to kind of politic for the voters for you to get a share of the national title. It's just it's been stupid. So like,
or there's split national titles. It's like writers and
the AP poll and the coaches poll have split Nebraska and Michigan, or it's like
Nebraska. I mean, there was years, there was three. I remember it was like, was our first title a three-way split or
maybe
maybe it was the year before Nebraska. It was like Texas, it was like Arkansas, something like it was like through a three-way split.
About?
It was like Notre Dame, something like, and I can't remember what it was, but like three different teams won. I'm like, that's just stupid.
It's just bizarre to me that there ever were games where it's like, we say this is a national championship game. It's like, well, was Michigan and Washington State in 97 the national championship game, or Nebraska, Tennessee? So if Tennessee would have won, that wasn't the national championship game. Only if Nebraska won, then it was one of the national championship games. Like, it's just weird to me. But so I'm glad that we're progressing. The BCS was bizarre to a certain extent. I'm glad we went to a playoff. I think four is not enough. I'm glad that it's expanding. The devil is in the details, though, with this thing here.
Now, the question is this. This is a question.
Yeah, because there's a lot of questions.
How many national titles does Nebraska win if we've had a 4-12-team playoff for 40 years? Because I would argue.
Do you think you have more? Do you have more than five?
Yes. I think unquestionably yes.
Yeah, because there's more years than
those
not.
Those 90s teams that didn't get to the national title game, like the 96 team, the 96-97 team, you know, like Frost,
yeah,
where we lost Arizona State, but by the end of the year, we were
really
like,
humming along.
In the same way, there was another year.
Well, 93, 99. Let's say 93, even though they played in the national title game. Again, you have to think about this. These are these sliding doors moments. To say there's a playoff, let's say Florida State gets knocked out, which is totally possible, and maybe Nebraska's not playing Florida State or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a great question. If there's a playoff from 1970 to 1997.
Yeah, I mean, even like 82, we lose to Penn State, but then we, in some fluke thing, but then we at least get into a playoff at the end of the year.
Right.
So even though, let's say we lose in 83 and some, you know, Miami upsets, because like if Miami upset us, they'd maybe upset us in a playoff.
You never know that.
But like you give that 82 team another chance to make a run, and you got Turner Gill, Irving Fryer, and Mike Rozier. It's like, good luck. Every extra game you give those guys, Remington, Stein, like, you're giving those dudes another chance to win a national title.
Yeah. I like that. That's
96, 99. Dude, even give the freaking,
you give the 09.
'09 team might squeeze in there and they go, if they get into a 12 team playoff for sure.
Well, Texas went and played in the national title game against Bama. They got rocked, but Colt McCoy got hurt in that game. But like you saw in that game,
Sue's taking on Mark Ingram. And like I'm betting on Sue.
Right. Like by the end of that season, that defense was so good.
They wouldn't be the favorite, but they would be like the dark horse underdog that like you can steal a national title as the underdog
there. Right.
Like they had such a good D, like they just had to get hot at the right time.
And I mean that's now we're getting into like, see, that's where it's always hard with even in the NCAA tournament. There's so many teams like that where like the best team doesn't always win because of the nature of just like anything can happen in one game.
Injuries, and so, matchups, the whole thing changes. Once you start widening the field, things happen.
Agree. So I'm happy about it. I think it's, you know, so the top four seeds are going to get byes in this thing. That's how like a 12 team playoff would work, I would assume. One thing I'm curious to see what happens is I have a bunch of questions here. I really hope that the first two rounds, the higher seeds host the game, because I think that would be amazing on a variety of levels, where instead of now, when you get to the semifinals and the finals, you want to, then we'll go neutral.
Yeah.
But I think it would be really cool to see, for instance, Florida or Florida State have to go to Ann Arbor.
You get the weather.
Yes. You get the weather element of it. Columbus, Ohio. Okay, Clemson. Okay, Georgia. You're coming to Columbus, Ohio, and it's December 11th.
That's like, so what I love about that is it's like throwing chaos into it, right? Mm-hmm. Like Alabama and Georgia seemingly should never lose, except for if they've never played in negative degree, like a snow game where it's negative degrees. Like that's stuff that like makes for these amazing matchups where the team that should win 9 out of 10 times doesn't. And that's the stuff I love.
Right.
And that's where like that's where having teams that play way different styles and weather, like that's where that stuff would come in.
I would love that. And I just like really close your eyes and imagine Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's a playoff game. Or imagine Lincoln, Nebraska, and here comes Auburn. It's Auburn at Nebraska.
January 15th or something.
And it is a playoff game. Like, I get chills thinking about it. So I hope that happens. I'm curious as to, are there going to be automatic bids? And what do those...
They like said, conference champions are in, which I assume means the four to five big...
So that's the other thing. It's like, does this also like help the survival of those other leagues? I would think it does.
I think it does. If like, so if you got 12 teams, Big Ten, SEC, ACC,
Pac-12, Big 12.
Pac-12, Big 12 are all in. So this helps Big 12 and Pac-12 tremendously. Ton. Tremendously. Now,
you wonder then, how are we filling out the rest of the field? I'd imagine there's going to be a selection committee.
And so then I think you get maybe one or two non-power.
That's five. What I'm curious on. How is it going to continue to be like, are you going to continue to have a playoff ranking and have it be the highest ranked non group of five team? I'm just curious what the non, so you know, the Cincinnati's, the UCF, well, I guess UCF's going to the Cincinnati and UCF are going to the Big 12. So, I mean, who are we really talking about even?
Well, that's
BYU is going to the Big 12.
So like, that's the thing is where, if the best teams of the non-Power Five are going to the Power Fives.
Yeah, maybe there's no need for it.
Well, then you got five in and then the seven best teams. Or you do the second best from each conference.
Because all of a sudden now you go, who are you really talking about? Like Boise State? You're talking about Boise State? I mean, there's going to be your random Coastal Carolinas, your random teams here and Boise then that pop up. But like
Pac-12, shouldn't
you? You would think so. But I would think this is Notre Dame. I mean, it's like joint conference. I mean, come on. But
I think
gave you a hug. I love you too, Mike. Hey, microphone. I love you.
I've always wanted to
hug you. People that saw that on YouTube, that was great. I mean,
to bed.
This is my daughter. I'll see you later.
She's got a little. Puppy and goes on pup pup. She has another guy. She names little like human, and she her name is Manu.
Like Ginobili.
Well, it's
just baby gibberish.
It's a Kiwi Manu, but I think Ginobili.
Okay.
But it's a little human.
I love it.
It's not like a baby doll, but it is a baby doll.
Well, that's
like,
fine.
Hey, that's a human being.
Yes, that's fine. I mean, I love that. But you embraced your microphone. That's good. So I'm okay. Then the other thing is we're asking questions about the 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
What does this mean for how many regular season games are going to be played now? Or how many games total are going to be played now? Because
12 teams and I think the top two get byes, right?
So like, are we still going to have a 12-game regular season and a conference championship game? And then depending on if you get a bye, you could play four more playoff games, which means now a college football team could be playing 17 games. Now,
but they are technically able to make money off themselves. So it's a little less. I feel less sorry for them than I used to.
I've always pushed back on that. I didn't play football in college, but I've always pushed back on there. Some people say, you can't ask a college kid to play 16 games. It's like,
you know what? I think you can ask them to play a certain amount. But here's what happens is like their fall camps are getting way easier. Like that's the part. That's the trade-off is like, these guys, they train year round, but like the fall camps are getting easier. The weekly practices are, they're getting better from what I understand. And like that makes it possible to do right. that. If you're doing the old school, like show up, you know,
3 days, waters six for weeks, sissies,
you don't Oklahoma get water, drill. Oklahoma drill all day long. Like the stuff my dad used to do would be called torture now.
Right.
Like your dad in the 70s yes. had to like, do things that he's like probably still like going like.
He tells me stories and I'm like, wait, hold on. what happened?
Yeah, it's bizarre how freaking nuts those guys.
Yes.
Had. Like, because they didn't, but you know what they didn't do? They didn't work out all year.
No.
Do you know what our dads did every summer? They went home and had to work in their hometown.
My dad was a night watchman at the Hormel factory. So he was that guy that like worked at nights, like guarding the, like they got jobs and like.
They got jobs around Nebraska or they, like my dad went back home in Minnesota for the summer. And like that's the part you go, oh, that's right. Like these guys now, it's almost like you treat it like a professional career. Like you're here all year round. You're working out year round.
Right.
You don't need to go to fall camp for 6 weeks of two-a-days because you've been training and studying and doing like they almost do like they can work with the coaches now during the year.
I know.
It's bizarre. You couldn't ever do
that. Are you one of those guys that is happy that the guys don't have to do the hard ass two-a-day stuff? Or are you one of those guys that you're mad that
I'm not mad that they don't have to. I'm just jealous that because at the time I knew I'm like, we don't need to do this shit. Like we don't need to do this.
I mean, all I know is what you had to go through.
I led the team in reps for 3 straight years. Fall camp reps. I took more. I can promise you this. I took more reps than any linebacker in the country in practice. And I knew the whole time, I'm like, I'm going to have dead ass legs.
Right.
I'm going to be tired
but
in the game. But you can't tell me I didn't take that. But like, they're worthless when they're that many.
Well, that's the thing is I always remember early on in the year, like by the time a game would come, this is even for basketball. Like basketball is the same thing. Everything's infiltrated. Like there's the caveman mindset of like run these mother truckers until they can't move, like has dissipated. But I just remember feeling like by the time the season came, like my body felt horrible.
That's and the think stuff.
How dumb that is.
That's the stuff that like now it's like it's very scientific. Like they have these dudes hooked up to like heart monitors and they're like they're tracking their movements so they'll know like, hey, this is your height, weight, and this is how long you've ran. Like they'll track it to the foot.
Right.
And once you start hitting like a certain like distance, they're like, you are going to start pulling muscles. You know, like it's smart instead of like what we used to do where like
brutal
become a slug because you've done 100 reps on a Thursday before a game. So you wonder why I got ran down and every time I intercepted a ball.
You just dead. All those tired. Reps in 2 days.
I was freaking tired.
That was the problem.
I never got my legs in.
That was the problem with you.
Congratulations, Husker.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks for ruining my legs so I couldn't run it in for a touchdown. But
maybe I'm just slow.
No, I don't think that's true at all. I've seen you run. I mean, I'm trying to think of any other questions with the 12-team playoff, though. Like, I think this helps the preservation of the Big 12, the Pac-12.
So the question is, what does it do for Nebraska?
Gotta help.
Helps.
Gotta help.
There's to me, there's no doubt it helps, right? So 4-team playoff in our current state, it seems like, okay, you got Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State. And then
you got your random LSUs, Oklahoma,
Michigan, LSU. Like,
yeah,
you got 8 teams that are fighting over 4 spots. And it's going to be really, really hard for the next 5 or 10 years to out recruit and out.
It just seems like it's impossible.
It almost seems impossible
for Nebraska to get in the playoff as it's currently constructed.
But when it goes to 12, a team like Nebraska can become like, we're the second or third in the Big Ten.
Right.
And we have a good year, we get into the playoff, which helps us then recruit. And like it circles it, right?
So right.
Like it opens up the field. So I think the Big Ten and the SEC are in great position, right? Going forward with their media deals, yada, yada, yada. But this also opens up just those extra spots for, besides being those two conferences, like you're a team that can make it to the...
To the
big dance.
Think about, okay, let's look at this. I mean, even take a team like Iowa. Iowa's made it to the Big Ten championship game a few times over the last couple of seasons. If there would have been a 12-team playoff, could they have potentially snuck in a bit? Even last year, they were 10-3. They were 10-2 going into the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. Now they got their doors blown off, but like
You're the 12th team. Guess what that does for your recruiting?
I'm just saying, like, so what I guess, could Nebraska have the season like Iowa had last year?
Nick,
I think so.
We've done it so many times. We've done it so many times in the last 50 years that we know we can do it.
Right.
We just got, I mean, step one is, you know, beat Georgia Southern. Step two is, you know, do well in the West and give yourself a chance. But then, like, then it'd be step three, like, okay, when this 12-team playoff runs around, like, you know, be number one or two in your league and you're getting in.
Well, I just pulled it up again. I knew there was another year. Remember the year in 2015 where Iowa was undefeated in the regular season, lost to Michigan State by three in the Big Ten title game. Yeah. They would have gotten into the playoff.
They would have.
So now undefeated is, I mean, that's like, duh, you would, I mean, if you're undefeated in the regular season, you're going to be Big Ten title game, you're probably getting in. But yeah, I think how this impacts Nebraska, good thing.
Yeah. But like I said, they didn't get in. They didn't get in before. Right. Like they didn't have the cachet to lose the Big Ten title and get in. Right. Like, so this is where like the teams that don't have the cachet, the Iowas, if you can be a good second in your league, you can get into the playoff.
It just, yeah.
And every time you get in the playoff, I mean, dude, I just know what that does for your team and your
for
brand.
Sure.
It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me felt like I would have preferred 8, but maybe 12 is the better number. I don't know.
I think for Nebraska, 12 is the better number. Yeah, I mean,
the bigger, the better.
8 might be better for...
8 makes more sense to me. I mean...
Yeah, maybe, but you know what? 12 is better for the guys like us.
Yes.
Right now, we're 8 makes it harder for us to get in. 12, I think, opens up like you can be the second best, because otherwise we have to win the conference.
Right. That's where my mind's at. Like, just win the West, have a decent record, go hang in there against Ohio State or Michigan, and you might get in the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a living off beating Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and you get to go to the playoff.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. We shall see. All right, Nick Bob Podcast is powered by H&H Automotive. I want to tell you about the Onyx dealership in Omaha, located at 150th and Dodge. Onyx won the Best of Omaha number one luxury car dealer award. How about that? You win the Best of Omaha, you're doing your thing. Offering the industry-leading brands like BMW, Jaguar, and Land Rover. I was looking at the Onyx website. In fact, I pulled it up right here. I'm not going to lie, Bo Rude. I think a white Range Rover is kind of my dream car.
Is it?
Isn't that, like, to me, it's just a beautiful car. Like, it's a beautiful-looking car, and I've never been inside of one, and I'm looking at it right now. The interior looks incredible inside. But speaking of other, so I said Land Rover. They got Jaguar. Didn't your mom, I loved your mom's BMW. That thing seemed like a smooth car.
They're super smooth. I also have a friend that has one, a current one, and they're roomy, too. Like, they're extremely roomy. And as a guy who, like, I rode your back seat, like, the knee room, I was blown away by.
You're right. Your mom's car was big. For not a big SUV type of thing. Like, it was a big sedan.
It's a big sedan. But now they have sedans and the SUV Beamers. But
yes.
Man, dude, hey.
BMW is fantastic. Your boy, one day I'll be in a white Range Rover. Okay, just one day it's going to happen.
So that's dream.
You understand?
Car. Okay,
that's the dream car for me. How about this? You want another reason to go there? Onyx offers a bottle of wine with any vehicle purchase. I swear to God, that's true.
So you're telling us we do a wine pod and they offer bottles of
wine? I'm just telling
you. I think we need to go there, Nick.
Just telling you that's what happens, okay? You can experience it for yourself at 150th and Dodge or online at onyxautomotive.com. That's onyxautomotive.com. Drive Onyx, the new standard. Should we get our tipsy prediction game right? I already TID. There's a little bit in there. Oh wow, you got a little more for you, boy.
I got some freaking.
I mean, that is it's something. Something's better than nothing.
I got Michael Dripper.
I mean, look how little that is. I'm gonna take it anyways. Okay,
take that drip down.
I got it.
All right,
Georgia Southern. They're 1-0. They beat Morgan Freeman State 59-7. Don't do it. Don't spit it out. Don't do it. You all right?
Morgan Freeman
State had some issues against Georgia Southern. Let's just say they won 50. So they're 1-0. Can we said Clay Helton, first year head coach, he was at USC. He's completely trying to change the offense to more of an air raid, throw it, air it out at attack. Cal Van Treese is the quarterback. He was the quarterback for Buffalo last year.
That's it. Yep.
So he threw for 357 yards and 4 touchdowns against Morgan Freeman State.
But he's been in Memorial Stadium.
I think that kind of matters.
It does.
Van Treese threw the ball 46 times against Morgan Freeman State. So they're wanting to air it out.
Yeah.
There's weather in the forecast. I don't know if you've looked Saturday night. It's supposed to be like mid 60s and rainy. There's potential rain in the forecast and like north of 50%. Now things can change. I know I'm not a meteorologist, but first of all, the first question, is it good that Nebraska is going to see a pass heavy attack? How do you see that? Because I think it is. I feel like Nebraska up until this point has shown more of a vulnerability if a team's going to run it a bunch. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? They're going to go see a team that's going to throw the ball 50 times probably, or at least want to.
You know, I mean, besides the fact that our DBs have been a little
Swiss cheese.
A little bit.
Against the pass,
they haven't been bad. It's just like, I feel like
they've had a couple of busts, but other than that, I don't.
What I'd like to see, I mean, if they want to, here's what will be interesting. If they want to just line up and drop back and throw, you had a hit song come out the other week called Mathis Got Sacks. That's the stuff that I would be interested in watching is like, what do we look like if you're not trying to do boots and all, like the stuff that people have been doing against us have been slowing down some of that. If they just want to line up and throw it.
If they want to shotgun, spread it and throw it, I feel like that is beneficial to Nebraska.
That could be. And I mean, as long as we communicate in the back end, and I think our outside linebackers being Mathis, Nelson and Tanner, I think that would be a good litmus test for how good those guys are.
So that was the first thing I wrote down is like, I actually think this is stylistically a good matchup for Nebraska potentially. Now at the same time, like what's funny is I'm trying to close my eyes and like, I know Nebraska teams have thrown the ball. I mean, oh boy, for Northwestern threw for like 3 bills, but it seems like a lot of that was, there's been a few busts. Of those DB, I've been more, when I think of the DBs and anything that's been bad, it's been more tackling.
Yeah, it's been tackling.
And yak, maybe?
Yeah, like they've had too many of those, like where the guys catch it a few yards in front of the sticks and they just don't get them down.
Okay.
Like when they hit them. I think communication before the snap is more the problem than anything.
But is communication before the snap more important against the run or the pass?
Both.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if there was like a one that's more detrimental than the other.
Both. You got to know what you're doing.
But I think you bring up Mathis, you bring up Nelson and Tanner. Like, I feel like this is a game that in theory, Clay Helton, I would think it's going to be not like the Northwestern polling boot stuff. Like it's going to be more straight up, spread it out, straight drop back, throw it.
Yeah.
I think that lends itself to like, if you had to say there's a strength to Nebraska's defense, I still think the strength is probably Nelson, Tanner, Mathis. Yeah. So I think that helps them.
They'll get more chances.
To do their thing.
If they're going to throw it 46 times, let's say 20 of those are like straight dropbacks. Like those guys get two versus like, I feel like they've had a few rushes. They're like third and long go rush. They're going to do this like air raid. There should be more of that.
Yes. So I feel like from that perspective, it's probably an advantageous matchup. But it's always concerning whenever a team's going to throw the ball 46 times, there are 46 opportunities for things to go way wrong. You know what I mean? Like passing there's more capabilities for a big game, a big play.
Louisiana Tech, and the year was 2000?
That's what, yeah.
What year was it? No, was it 99? It was one of those years where they we had a good team and they like threw it all over us. They came out of nowhere.
Yes.
And that's all it is. They threw and we tried to match up man to man. It was like either 99.
I want to say it was in the 90s.
99 maybe.
That sounds right.
98, 99, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Whenever a team's going to air it out, there is an element of like, it's like just because if thing, all it takes is a few.
If they get in the flow, then it's like a long game because then they're thrown all over the field. But like, I feel like if you get on them early, it becomes like a bloodbath. Well, it kind of goes a bloodbath either way.
That's right. Yeah,
like, it's like either you start sacking them and the quarterback gets like drilled and hurt, and or it's like they get their rhythm. And then you're chasing them all day.
Right.
So I think it kind of goes one way or the other, kind of to the extreme. Like you're going to throw it 50 times. It goes one way or the other.
Yes. It can go terrible or you can rip someone apart.
Or you destroy them.
So, and my guess is it's Nebraska's going to be okay. But I don't know. What else are you, what else has your attention in this game?
I mean, to me, it's like, the first few games of the year, you see the most progress, right? So, like, I think last week you should have seen a big jump. We didn't make the jump, but we also were coming off a long trip. We had a bunch of flu, some injuries. I think we're going to see a jump.
Yeah.
I mean, I am usually optimistic, but, like, I think we're going to look way better. And I just see us doing another North Dakota, like, style. It's 7.5. Like, I don't see that
now. By the way, how does rain affect Nebraska? Because I think Whip wants to throw that thing. Whip now they
likes to let it whip.
He likes to whip that thing all around, dog. But rain for Nebraska.
Rain for Nebraska to be determined. I
don't know. I know. That's right. I think they clearly have a better and more capable running game than Georgia Southern does. And
yeah.
So I would think that would help. But I don't know. I'm not totally sure what to make of Nebraska in the elements.
I don't either. I feel like this game is set up for us to play well though, because we've been humbled, but we got a win under our belt.
Yeah.
And now these guys saw themselves win the game and not play great. Like I think they're going to make improvements. And there's a lot of young guys that, like, every single game you're going to get better. I mean, just like these dudes that don't know, like, what it feels like to be in a game or feeling like, okay, I've been in Ireland now, first home game. Okay, how about now I get my damn assignments right? This is what I do. Do your job.
Again,
go from there.
I would say that what I said last week with North Dakota, it just would be nice to have a game that is a stress-free. I'm not saying it has to be just total 63-0, but just a stress-free game where Nebraska asserts themselves from start to finish, where there's just no booing. Let's hope there isn't booing.
But you said assert themselves. Like, asserting yourself means that, I think we said this at the beginning, like, there was just a handful of plays that would have ended the game early. Get off the field. Third and long. Get off the field. Then the offense gets it back and they score. The FCS teams are going to freaking quit.
Yes.
You know, like these smaller conference teams, they're going to quit. If you get up 20 points early, it's over. So you just got to, like, you got to just not let them hang around with little mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make little mistakes.
Totally just agree.
Play the game. Get them down. It shouldn't be a problem.
I said 34-20. Does that sound about right to you? What would you hope? It's more than that. You think
40-14.
40-14? Okay. Yeah,
something like that. I mean, I would say that I think this is going to be a game where it comes together for us.
Okay. I like that. I hope that's true, because obviously shit gets real 10 days from now. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. It's September 7th. 10 days from now, September 17th, Oklahoma's coming to the crib. And I'm not going to be too hospitable to them Sooners. I'm just telling y'all right now, when the Sooners come to my crib, I ain't going to be all that hospitable to them dudes, all right? I'm not trying to be too hospitable to Dylan Gabriel and them guys.
I don't know if I got anything else to add to that.
Man. Are you going to that game, by the way?
Yes. Yep.
Mava's got a soccer game. during the game.
That's the father life.
You, and I am an assistant coach on her soccer team. What is a what am I to do?
Nick, I mean, we thank all God have for DVR. Priorities.
I mean, I'm going to DVR that thing.
We got our priorities, Nick. I'll be there.
Well, the hardest part's going to be avoiding. You and I are big on like. What I don't want is like in the middle of the game, like, do you hear what happened? I'm like, no, do not. I don't want any like, hey, you hear here we what's go going again. On?
Can't kick it off. Gosh.
They onsided it to start the game. You hear that? You hear about what happened?
Hey.
Hey, did you hear about it? I don't want you to hear about it, guy.
This guy comes up and bumps you.
Hey. You hear about Frost? Fumbled right away. Not the guy.
Why are we why are we calling timeouts? Hey,
I don't want
hey,
that.
Coach.
I want zero spoilers. I might come in there like noise canceling.
What time is this game at?
The game. Let me pull it up. I'll pull up the schedule here for you. The game. So it's big noon kickoff, and the soccer game.
Oh, so it's but it's an 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock.
Yes,
Husker game. And the soccer games win.
The soccer game starts at 1:15.
Oh, that's in the middle of the game, Nick.
So what should I do? Do I tell Mava, you're nothing to me, and screw your soccer team, and I'm locked out of the game?
I think you sit down, hugged by Mike.
And you threw a baseball. It was signed by George Brett.
It's my George Brett
baseball. I think a guy named Todd Packer signed that, George Brett. What do I do?
If Todd Packer likes that joke.
So I've signed this baseball, George Brett. This idiot from Nebraska.
This know idiot, he plays with it during his podcast. Idiot.
So what do I do? What should I do?
I think you got to sit Mava down, babe. Mava, I'm going to come with the truth to you here. It's Oklahoma, Nebraska.
You understand?
Your dad's got a job to do. He's got to watch the game.
I could play the job card.
I mean, you love
or her, but or do I somehow? I just feel like the chances of me avoiding spoilers are low.
I mean, what? Because by the time you get there, it's halftime.
So I watch. Would you? If you were me, would you watch? Stop.
Yes.
Do the game.
Yes.
Then come back to it. That's what I'm probably gonna do.
Here's the thing: is you're gonna go to the game. And there's going to be a look on people's faces.
Yeah, I don't want the look.
Pumped or they're pissed. And you'll see these dads over there on their phones going, like they'll be grabbing their hair.
Right.
It's body language. You'll know. So at least if you know, like we had a great half.
Right.
You'll know. Okay. At least we had a great half.
Okay. But you're probably right. I think I start it, stop away. It. And I might buy a shirt that says, don't tell me.
I've DVR'd the Oklahoma game.
Why can't a guy go to Shields and find a shirt that says, I'm DVRing the game. Oh, I'm recording the game. Don't tell me.
I mean,
I'd buy that shirt.
That's a tough one.
You know, parenting. That's what you got to do.
I feel for you're good.
Okay. Dad. 40-14, Georgia Southern, Nebraska, Huskers victorious. I'm going to go 34-20. Either way, we'll be back here for the recap pod. On Sunday, we got a long Sunday coming, my friend. Yes, we got a double header. We are going to recap pot it, and because of scheduling, you got to go.
I'm going to the Big Apple.
Going to the Big Apple.
I got work to do,
and you got big fish to fry in the Big Apple. So we're going to double duty these things on Sundays. We'll have a big Oklahoma preview. It's going to be great. Oh man, it's 10 days away, baby.
I love it.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
A Huda Media Production.